D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really.
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson's son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
There it is. He still loves it. It's the off season. Man, I'm
telling
you.
Somebody does.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Well, recording from the basement. I don't think I changed the lead in, did I?
No.
Recording from the basement the entire off season. Hey, with me, to my right, Heath Elson-San. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. On the board, Wesley Coleman. Listen, from border to border, from coast to coast, and from continent to continent, you listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
Can get us internationally now. Not that you couldn't before, but I'm just saying that's anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I ain't gonna lie. To all of you guys, the people who support us, listen to the show. I mean, it's been really hard for me to since we lost the NFC Championship game, I just have not been able to muster up the desire to really get into it. And so if it wouldn't be for Tomas, so if you want to send Tomas even though he's over there calling us names, if you want to send Tomas an email thanking him for like giving us a hard time, making sure we get back in here.
Yeah. I'm the man.
It's hard. He's the man to put it all together, keep it all together. So we have some things. We're going to bring back the Saints Report post of the week. Our friends and partners over at saintsreport.com. We're the official podcast of those guys.
Woo!
You know, we really don't point that out enough. We have to do it more, but we want to bring back our segment where we go out there and we find interesting posts and discuss those. Also, we can talk a little bit about Mark Ingram. One of the posts that I saw that I liked, and maybe you guys might have different ones, with no first-round pick, do the Saints have to be aggressive in free agency? We need to talk about that a little bit. I found a couple of things non-Saints related. The new league, AAF, was that American?
Well, Saints related.
Well, AAF, what's that stand for?
American Alliance of American Football.
Yeah. Apparently, they almost went out of business after 1 week of play. And, you know, everything I heard, it wasn't because it was a really bad product. I heard everybody's pretty satisfied
with it. It wasn't.
The expectations, you know, what I've really heard a lot about is compliments about how they ran the league. Of course, their talent level's not going to be the same as professional football. They're pulling from a much smaller pool of players. These are guys and probably get paid less than the guys on the practice squad. So they're not even practice squad level players who are like, no, I'm on the roster. I'm not going to play over there. And then also, if we want to get into a little Kaepernick conversation, which is very polarized and everybody's always interested in talking about that.
They
looks like the league tried to get him to come in, and, you know, he would have probably been maybe the face of the league, obviously the most, to my recollection, and I'm not going to act like I've been following a bunch.
Yeah.
But to my knowledge, the most visible player that they would have in the league, you know?
Yeah.
So then also, Tomas going to bless us with his first mock draft 1.0.
He
got like 7 pages of notes there because the Saints don't pick to the end of the second round.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway.
You got to go deep
into
it. I've
been doing my homework. I mean, I've got the top five in each
position. Well, you
position,
have plenty of time. We just alternate weeks now every other week to do the show.
I actually
had
most of it ready for last week.
Did
but,
you?
Yeah.
Well, that's why he was disappointed. You could tell he wasn't happy, right?
I wasn't. I did all that work, and you people were like, I'm not feeling it.
Well, hey, man, I wasn't feeling it until now. So are y'all feeling it tonight? Should I come? Are we feeling it? So
I know how your girlfriend is.
Oh, geez. Here we go. That was pretty good, though. I like that. So anyway, Heath, how you doing? Welcome in.
Hi, I'm good.
You ready?
Yeah.
I know you did all your homework.
Oh, I did. Yeah,
I did plenty. If there's one thing we pride ourselves in, especially you and I, is preparation.
Preparation.
It's
the key.
That's
right.
The key to success.
Well, his name is Heath, so preparation nature sounds fine just to me.
Nice. Okay. Oh. Okay. You're getting more and more clever there. I don't know.
Right.
So, Tomas?
Yes, sir.
You got anything to share with the world? Some words of wisdom?
No,
jeez. All right. You see, this is the problem.
I'll tell you. Look, you say that, you know, AAF, almost everything. My understanding is there's a big connection. He sent me a bunch of stuff on it. There's a big connection with professional NFL, with AAF. you have players going, I understand, actually. We were saying something about how the practice squad people make more money. My understanding is that they were actually trying to get the teams to all say, okay, if you're on a practice squad, you can go ahead and play in the AAF.
Yeah.
Which I think would be a good thing.
Sure, I'd watch it. I'd be more inclined to watch it.
That
now,
makes
I'm
too
guessing
they
keep their contract from whatever team they're on.
Yeah. Well, do you remember back whenever it started off at one thing, then it was the World League of American Football, then it went to NFL Europe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
NFL basically bought them out, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Bought them out, and that's what it was. They would assign players to certain teams. The Saints were the Rhine Fire. That's the team that the Saints players would go to.
Yeah.
And that gave me at least a little bit of reason to watch them play, not the games.
So I think the association with the AAF and the NFL is just simply that the AAF decided which NFL teams players were associated with would be assigned to what team in the
at some point.
I don't know that there's any actual working relationship between the NFL and AAF. In other words, it's not a feeder league or a.
I see.
I think literally the AAF just said, "Hey, we got to figure out a way to allocate players, so we're going to take all the NFL teams, assign each of our eight teams teams, and any player
that had some sort of
whatever last NFL team they were on, that's how they will get assigned to our teams or whatever." So it would seem that my initial, I thought it was an actual relationship between,
like a farm team or something.
Or they had some sort of a working agreement, but I don't think it is. I think it's just.
Well, I know that there are quite a few former Saints that are playing for the Memphis Express. It's
too bad that
they have a crappy coach, because otherwise they actually wouldn't be 0-2. But,
yeah. Well, I tell you
Singletary
what.
Singletary is the coach.
Singletary, yeah.
You don't care for Singletary?
No.
He's not ready?
He proved that he wasn't a good coach when he was in San Francisco, so.
I mean, there's actually in the organizations, there's actually some very big names in the organizations, although the players aren't. So.
Well, you got Mike Martz, who's a Super Bowl coach.
Yeah. What's funny? I haven't watched. I don't know if I kind of feel like so far, at least early in the offseason, as I try to somehow shake off the whatever, this is more of like three guys in the room just talking football, talking about what's going on. Because I'm like, I don't know, and I haven't seen. I haven't watched any of the games, but let's talk to the people and see what they think. You know?
Well, I think the ideas that they're using to call the games as far as the referees and replays, I think, are very good, something the NFL should definitely look at and use. I think speeding up the game is good. Not as many commercials because there are no kickoffs.
I agree with that.
And then there are extra points.
I agree with that.
You have to go for two every time.
One of the frustrating things is like, okay, you score a touchdown, then they go – You kick an extra point.
Extra point. You can't kick an extra point.
Well, no. I'm talking about in the NFL.
Or
college. And then after you kick the extra point, then you go to timeout, and you come back,
then
and you kick off, then they go
back to timeout.
It's just a very irritating part of it. So I like to cut it out. But one of the things I do have an issue with is, and here's something I'm interested in here, what you guys say. I don't want my football shorter. You know what I love about watching college football? Especially, I'm an LSU fan. Whenever they last for like 4 hours, maybe, 3.5, 3:40, but they seem to last forever.
Yeah.
You go to watch a college
football
game. Oh, my God, yeah. And you watch a college football game, and it's like it's a day of entertainment, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's even if you didn't go to the game. Now, if you go to the game, that's a whole different story. You can tailgate and all this. But if you're just sitting on the couch, you show up. About 4 hours later, you're shaking hands and, I'm not trying to say I want to add plays, because I get the whole, at some point the players are getting tired and they get injured or whatever, but I don't need less football. I don't need less time. I don't need we got the same.
Well, don't worry.
Conversely, basketball, I like college basketball. That's a 2-hour game, and that's even worse. I'm like, it's over already,
And somehow the first hour and 58 minutes of the game only last about 10 minutes.
Right.
And the last 2 minutes last the other hour. Yeah, I mean, it's like it's
so. Well, don't worry, because it's just a question of economics, Econ 101, commercials pay.
Yeah.
Money comes into the till. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And so, therefore, nothing to worry about. Now, I would say this. I don't have any problem with not having kickoffs anymore. That doesn't really bother me. You can still have commercial timeout or whatever.
Yeah.
But, just give the other team, I don't know about 25, but give the team the ball on 20. I'm good. Now, I still want extra points because I think by moving the ball back, they've made it now a challenge, and I like that.
Right. You see, before, I was kind of like, do away with the two. I mean, the extra point. But then I stopped and said, wait a minute. Then you eliminate the two-point conversion.
Right. See, so I like both of them.
But now if they backed it up, the option, it's not automatic anymore. No. I mean, hey, the Saints were beneficiaries of a missed extra point when we played Baltimore.
Several times.
So, well, maybe, Cleveland. Maybe Browns. Yeah. I don't remember that far back. Yeah. I just kind of remember the Baltimore one. But the kickoff, listen, I have seen some great, and I'm sure you guys have too, plays off of the kickoff. Now with the rule changes, when's the last time that you saw a good kickoff return?
Well, just think about this. Yeah. When was the last time you saw a kickoff return that they didn't throw a flag on?
Oh, that's another thing.
Well, that's the, I mean,
you know, every kickoff return is the same thing. Oh, hit him in the back, you know, flag. So even if the guy runs it back 85 yards and you're like, whoo!
Okay, so
bring it back.
Something else that just occurred to me. Remember in the offseason when they talked about the changes to the rules, I remember specifically, and I can't remember, it was a media guy that I disagreed with, and he said it's going to increase returns. And really, I think what they did was they made it safer and decreased the chances of a good return when they said that you can't have
two guys.
Even have two guys.
Can't make a wedge.
You not only can you, they used to do the three big guys and they'd make a wedge. Now, you can't even double a guy up. Now, and I pointed this out. I said, I don't know, and I'm not even pretend to be a special teams expert, but when you are trying to block a guy in a field, is what is it, 52 yards wide? When a guy is coming down the field and you have to block one guy, you tell me what the odds are. When you don't know where the guy – now, if you have a good return guy, he's using you. He's playing off of you. But you run up there and try to block a guy in wide open field.
Yeah.
And think that he's not, and then that's all of them. Yeah. The point is that they don't have a chance. And now, if I block you and Tomas blocks Heath at the same time, well, that's a penalty. You can't double team a guy. So the point is they're intentionally de-emphasizing the kickoff, obviously, for safety reasons, wherever. Then there's a point where it's, well, why even have it?
Well, that could be the reason why they let go of Yoda.
Well, okay, we're going to switch gears here.
Yeah, because, the three guys that they had. Again, my time, you had one special teams coach.
Yeah.
Now, the Saints had three, okay? So they let all three guys go, and they bring in a new guy, Rizzi. Is that his name, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Used to be at Miami, and a college guy from Penn State to be his assistant.
Yeah.
So now we got two special team guys.
Wait, Tomas, before you get too far into that, let's take a quick break because I've been forgetting about this. We owe something for those people who want to put their bets down, MyBookie.
Yeah.
Y'all listen to Tomas real quick.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, fellas. They are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget, you play, you win, you get paid.
All right, so there you go. MyBookie.com. If you want to put your bets down, go out and support these guys because they supported us during the season. And quite frankly, actually, they're more of a never mind.
And you can bet any kind of sport. You know, don't worry about it. Football season is over in the NFL, but you can bet basketball. Baseball season is about to start.
Uh-huh.
You can bet soccer. You can bet tiddlywinks. I mean, anything you want. You know
those. The thing about it is, it's more of a pain in the backside to do those commercials and spots and all the stuff you have to add in and all the reporting you have to do. To me, until they start paying us bigger bucks. I think they're gonna have to. We're gonna have to start negotiating a higher rate because that $2 a week, it wasn't cutting. Yeah. It wasn't paying the bill.
I hear you. Anyway,
all right. But no, thank those guys. They supported us, and we appreciate it. And we hope you. I'm telling you, it's a hassle, bro. I'm not doing it. Hey man, I ain't doing it no more. Anyway, but thank you, MyBookie.com. They're good guys. They paid on time, like they said.
They would pay on time. All right. The checks didn't bounce. Just tell me.
I have an extra $36.
Wow, $36! Don't let it burn a hole in your pocket.
I know. And by the time I paid the annual fee for the hosting of the
got nothing.
Less than nothing. Working on negative numbers. All right. So where were you? You were talking about our three new special teams coaches.
Two. two. We let go of three. We replaced them with two.
Well, see, what I had heard.
So far.
Well, so far, yeah. I mean, yeah, we've still got a long way to go. Yeah. You know?
Is Yoda, and what's funny, you think at some point, I don't know, man. I think that crazy old bastard probably went in the office, slammed his. I mean, I'm serious. I've heard some interviews with him, and that is an arrogant old dude that thinks he invented special teams.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And listen, you know, I think, listen, sometimes you don't appreciate when something's good. You just take it for granted. Like, think about all the years we had Martin Anderson. You know, we knew he was good and everything, but you didn't really appreciate him until you shanking, you know, extra points in what was it, Tennessee, and miracles don't happen because of all those missed field goals that would have won games. So the point is, our special teams was definitely improved.
Especially after you signed Yoda.
I mean, yeah, really no, and that's what I'm saying. I got to give him credit for that. Hopefully, kind of like the defensive line coach that we brought in, a young, enthusiastic,
from North Carolina State.
Enthusiastic coach comes in and does the same kind of stuff with special teams. To me, though, where we need to focus is we need to find our returner and really a punt returner, because the kickoff return game has almost been eliminated. Look, you find somebody, but you can find guys who return kicks. We need a punt returner. And two, special teams-wise, I've been walking around in a fog, and I can't remember what I was listening to, and I just found out that that our kicker, his contract's expired.
Yeah.
So
where are you?
Dude, I told you, man.
I sent you a note, and I told you this. Where you been, man?
I've been under a rock. I'm telling you. I don't know, man. I'm hoping it comes back, because I could not imagine going through life just disinterested. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing left I have in life, that aside from my kids.
Uh-huh.
That bring me happiness and enjoyment and something to look forward to.
Not listening to you.
No, oh shit. I love you, babe. I've been meaning to tell you. Anyway, but I hope
you did good on Valentine's Day.
I did.
Yeah.
On the 16th, I really made it happen.
On the 16th, you went into Sam's and you saw the flowers were like $5, and you're like, hey,
true.
I can throw out the bad ones. Yeah, and just
no, man,
to go with.
$4.95, bro. Got a discount on a big old bouquet of roses.
Ooh, man.
Shit, yeah, and they just scored. Just a little brown. Seriously, on the edges and stuff.
I'm serious. You know, Sam's the day, because I went the day after, you know, because I was buying something else, and they had every rose, every flower they had there, like, you know, $7, $8, $9. I was like, man, look, this is a nice dozen roses for $9.
I was going to get some candy,
bucks?
But I tell you what, they don't waste no time pulling that stuff off the shelf.
Oh, no, it goes.
No, yeah. They're like, hey, time to get, and next thing I go, and there's Easter candy. So my girlfriend got a dozen roses
and some
a bunny.
And a bunny.
There you go.
What's those little marshmallow ones? I thought you sent us over.
Yeah, the yellow one with the black eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly.
Peeps.
Yeah. There you go. That's right. All right.
So we need to re-sign a kicker, and he's going to be pretty expensive.
They're going to re-sign.
No, they will. Now, the kickers are generally not the guys that you have. But, man, we talking about salary cap implications, and things going to be pretty tight. We have we short on draft picks.
No.
And while we have a little bit of cap space, we have some guys we need to re-sign. And now I just realize you're talking about another, what is it going to be, maybe $4 million for a good kicker?
For multiple years. He's not going to sign for one.
No, but the point is about averaging about $4 million a year.
Probably.
Is that about what they're going for nowadays?
I guess so.
Is it?
Especially if
they get that much?
As consistent as he is. I mean, like he was, like Dave was saying, I mean, you think back. You know, how many parades do we have come in here of people that couldn't make a freaking field goal?
Yeah. Well, you know? So this leads to something interesting. Now, we're talking about the changes of the special teams coaches.
Yeah.
Lutz really improved and got a lot more consistent after one of those three guys we just sent packing.
That's right.
Came in.
That's correct. Mm. O'Day.
Okay, and so
O'Day.
So
I think
from,
that's what it was,
from
the, second guy.
The kicking aspect, and then also we had the best coverage teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Where we lacked was on the and really it was the punt return, because if you look at Taysom Hill's kickoff return average,
they were always at a 25.
It was good.
Yeah.
You know, it was higher up in the league as far as. So really, the big issue has been punt returns. I mean, we have not had a competent punt returner.
But this could be the beginning of Petty Payton. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Are we going to go out there and hang out all these other teams and just beat the hell out of them? I'm thinking we are. So therefore, maybe he just felt, you know, we're just not aggressive enough on special teams.
Yeah.
Even though we got good coverage, or just not aggressive enough, and we really didn't score anything. I mean, if you think about it, you know, how many times do we score on special teams?
Oh no!
Well, I was thinking returns, but I'm like, we did have some. We had some blocks, but I don't think we turned anything for a touchdown.
That's what I'm saying, though, and so that's where it's a little surprising to me, is because If I was the Saints, I don't want to trade steady kicking, outstanding coverage, pretty good kick returning, and get rid of all of those guys and bring in some new guys. So, okay, you know, in other words, you may improve the punt return or whatever, but what else are you going to give up in return?
That's true.
I'd rather have those other strong areas and then not worry so much about punt returns and all and let the offense take care of that.
Kicker, how many people did we have coaching special teams?
No, he had one, and I doubt he ever worked with Morton. Yeah. I mean, Morton
so
was
I'm,
off
I'm
by himself.
So I'm going to put this out. Just because a lot of these guys are head cases, maybe Will Lutz is not a head case.
Well, he had some struggles, and then there were blocking issues at that time.
Because how many different long snappers did we go through?
Yeah.
Remember that, too?
Yeah.
We went through a whole gang of long. Now, we already signed our long snapper as one of the first free agents we signed up.
Yeah.
So we're set at the snapper, the holder, and the kicker.
Yeah.
So again, maybe that's not a worry anymore. Maybe they've got it all straightened out, and coaches figured, okay, we got that straightened out. Now we need to straighten out some other things and bring in different people. You know, so could be.
So hopefully the new coach is going to come in and look at what they did on coverage last year and just do the same thing.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm coverage. I'm saying, yeah, Tommy Lee. Yeah, I have no idea how Tommy Lee has stuck around as long as he has.
But coach keeps saying nobody can beat him out.
I mean, and that's sad. I mean, that tells you where you're really at when Tommy Lee's the best you got.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
By a long shot, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
So, yeah.
Apparently so.
That's pretty pathetic.
Question, huh?
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
All right, I've been thinking about watching some WWE because I bought this Xbox game. I don't share all this stuff, but I have two daughters, 7 and 6.
Wait, but you didn't buy the Xbox with the WWE for your daughters?
No, I got the WWE.
For you?
No, you don't know.
Oh, okay.
These girls, they get rowdy. And so I remember when I was a kid, I used to I'd watch this wrestling. I knew it was
wrestling.
Real. I knew it was real.
You knew it was real.
I'd tear up some pillows, man. And I get so. And I'm thinking, as crazy as they get from this game, I mean, they jumping up and down and everything. I'm gonna start watching. So I actually hit up a little dice.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this is kind of a side story. Did you see the banner? I guess this. I saw this on the internet, and it was from WWE Raw, and there's a big banner. You know, they weren't focused on the banner, but they're focused on the wrestler. And on the banner, it says, Saints got robbed. So in the crowd.
Oh, yeah. I saw the picture of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. But I'm going to start watching some wrestling with the girls, just support whoever. Those are my kind of people out there. That's the kind of message that they think about a month after.
Afterwards.
Yeah. And they'll be relaunching their own football league next year again.
That's right. Next year.
Your friends at the WWE.
That's right. Next spring, it's XFL.
I mean, I don't know. I guess they have several minor league
systems. A Washington football era.
I just don't know how. I can only imagine that they think that, listen, they don't have what it takes to compete with the NFL. But maybe if they come in and they just kind of provide entertainment, years down the line, they might be able to get to the point where salaries continue to go up and maybe get competitive.
Yeah.
But wasn't that, I mean, look at arena football. I find arena football to be pretty entertaining, although I never watch it. When I actually flip it on, I see it. I end up watching it for a little bit. It's been around for a long time. I don't see how it's going to compete.
Yeah. So, well, arena football is a very different game.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying, but something else that's football related.
Yeah. But I happen to watch the press conference, the event where they were, you know, relaunching the XFL, and they announced the host cities, revealed the host cities,
okay,
and where the teams were going to play and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And this time around, I mean, I tell you what, the commissioner is Oliver Luck. You remember he played quarterback for the Houston Oilers and back in the day. He's the commissioner of the league. And, man, you stand there and listen to him. Nobody's told him that they're not going to be an actual real competitor. This guy thinks he's getting ready to put an absolutely better football product out there.
Well, they hired the first coaches better than all the coaches they hired
Yeah, and I mean, I'm talking about, you know, it sounded good.
And you're talking
about
the XFL.
The XFL, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they already hired the Dallas coach for next year, and that's Stoops, who used to be at Oklahoma.
Okay.
And to me, he's a better coach than some of these people they signed for the AAF.
Yeah. Well, I think the XFL is bringing more money to the table.
Yeah,
I think. You know, this is a bigger operation.
Yeah, the capital's up. Yeah.
Now, does anybody know what happened? Because they were around for a little while, went out, and now they're trying to come back. What makes them think that they're going to have a better run at it this time than last time?
You know, I think he talked about the mistakes that they made the last time. Although some of those things have made it in NFL. Skycam in the NFL now is the result of the XFL.
That sucks whenever you fail and then they take all your best stuff and you try and damn it.
Well, that's the way it always is.
Yeah. I think the problem the first time around was the he hate me names on the back of the jerseys and different things. It was a little too, a little Mickey Mouse in certain.
A little too pro wrestling.
Yeah, certain aspects and all. And so I think this time they're coming out with something that's more of a straight
professional
football product.
They started the game off by just throwing the ball out there and let two guys go after it.
Yeah.
It sounded like it was going to be a lot
like
more
a rugby
of a
thing or whatever.
Yeah, it sounded like it was going to. I was excited for that.
Scrum.
But it always ended up not being nearly as exciting as you thought it would be. Yeah. Like, there's always one guy got there so much quicker than the other guy that it just kind of fell on the ball like a fumble recovery. Another guy had kind of leaned over and touched him.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking it's going to be a huge collision.
Yeah, it's kind of like having to tip off with Shaquille O'Neal and Muggsy Bogues.
Right.
You know, basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I think really the reason that it failed last time, all those things are true. But I think also it's because they just didn't have the money invested in it. It was like McMahon lost $20 million in the deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I think and he was the big investor. He didn't really have the kind of money. I understand that this time they have some serious money behind it, not just McMahon's millions.
I tell you what, to have the same people go at it again.
And plus, McMahon is much richer now than he was back
then. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe he's like, look, I have enough now where I want to try my dream again. Where I was going with that is, like, you know, hey, guys, let's all get together and open up a bicycle repair shop. You know, and you're like, man, everybody needs a bicycle repair. And you put the money in, you do it, and you fail. And, you know, 20 years later. Tomas, Heath, you know what I'm thinking?
Yeah, bike repair.
Thinking we should do this bike repair shop. Yeah, people really need that now, you know? And that not only would I think that, but then you guys would be like, you know what, Dave, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Like, I find it hard.
Again, if you think about from a perspective of entertainment, where was wrestling when he made that investment in the XFL?
Junkyard Dog, baby. Okay. No, that was after that.
Okay. But, well, I think it was on a down, because remember that it used to be the WWF.
Yeah.
Remember? They got sued by the real WWF, World Wildlife Federation. And so they had to change the name. And when they did, they actually had to confess in court that it wasn't real, that it was entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And all the money went down. They lost a lot of viewership. So where are they now? Man, they have tremendous marketing.
Okay, so you mean there was a significant percentage of people who actually thought that pro wrestling was real?
They still do. Where are you?
Man.
I've always questioned it. I mean,
where are you, brother?
It's like when people talk about wrestling, I always assume that they know it's not real, but it still has entertainment. It's like acting or in other words.
But these guys are real athletes because they really are jumping around.
There's
no doubt about it.
Jumping off the top rope and landing on somebody. I remember specifically, and I don't have a lot of childhood memories, but I have a specific childhood memory where I jokingly said to my dad and thought I'd be funny. He said something about the pro wrestling. I said, it's not fake like that college stuff. You know, and he got mad at me. I mean, he was like, I guess I didn't deliver it the right way, man. So I, Anyway, but no, I absolutely agree. If you actually watch what these guys are doing, they're getting on the top rope, doing backflips.
Oh, yeah, they're athletic. No doubt about it.
Like, athletic.
They blow knees. They break, shoulders. Yeah. Separate shoulders. And so.
Now, they're not actually punching and kicking each other.
No.
You know, they're doing the old foot
stomp
with the side of the face.
It's obviously all staged that way. But the point is it's not for the meek. I mean, you're not going to go in there and just be like.
No, they still hit them. It's just, it's not like a full blow.
Yeah,
you know?
they do the forearm to the side of the head with the foot, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, it's not.
Well, you know, that's against the rules. You can't hit them with a closed fist. See, you know, if you did.
Yeah, well, whatever. whatever. But
know, so, what about? I know this is all over the place, but I still feel like we have the three guys in the room talking format going on. Did you see the meme where the wrestler's over there and one guy has the other guy on the ground? He had the Saints
in it. Yeah.
Another
yeah.
guy on the ground with the Rams have,
and then the referee came.
The referee comes and takes the dude in the Saints hand.
Yeah,
and then drags the Rams dude yeah. on top of the Saints guy. As hurt as I've been, that made me laugh so hard, man. And it was just, that was good stuff.
Now, I'm just saying to you, look, that rest, I wouldn't want to get in the ring with any of these guys.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, you can talk about it being staged. Dude, I'm not getting in the ring with Goldberg, okay? Because the first time I met you, Dave, I told my wife, I was like, doesn't Dave remind you of Goldberg? And my wife's like, who's that? And I said, you know, the wrestler, Goldberg, you know? So, there you go.
Well, I tell you, I boxed for many, many, many years. And listen, I know it's not like hitting the ground, but I don't want anybody picking me up in a headlock, lifting my feet
yeah. above my head.
What would that be? That would be parallel to the ground and then dropping me on my back.
Perpendicular.
Thank you. Thank you for your geometry there. But
you're parallel after you hit the ground.
That's correct.
But I knew that though. No, I was thinking horizontal. So I'm like, that's the other one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but no. So I don't know. That's a lot of wrestling that we just covered, huh? So,
well, you know, I mean, there's something to be said about it. It's
way too much.
Yeah. It's
way too much.
You know. So okay, but let's get back to football.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer podcast.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Mark Ingram. Do we bring him back? If we do, how far are we willing to go? I heard that they've been in negotiations now for, I don't know. I've heard as much as since last year that they've been talking. And the thing is, I do believe that Mark Ingram is a huge part of the Saints offense. Although, as soon as I say that, I can also remember times where he's just kind of been invisible, like the first three games of last year, this past season.
Four games of this year.
Yeah, he was
that's what I'm saying.
This year,
he was really invisible.
The first three games this year, man. He was three games. He's suspended for three games. So, see, I'm missing my jokes. I think y'all got the – no?
No, it was four games.
No, he got suspended for three games. I know it's weird. It's usually four, but it was three games.
No, four.
Okay, either way. The bottom line is that
– he was suspended.
Yeah, he got suspended, so he was invisible. No, but later in the season, man, I get it. Listen, I understand Kamara is the guy. He's the man. But, man, there are times when you just want to take the ball and just shove it right down their throats, and Ingram's the guy that seems to bring that attitude.
And I'm
just wondering, okay, I'd like to see the Saints bring him back. Having said that, how much money are we willing to spend on it?
All right, I'll let Heath go first.
All right.
You know, oh, man. I mean, I read a lot early on. I can't remember. It was one of the Saints writers on one of these, I don't know, it was Canal Street Chronicles, one of them. But they did a breakdown of, they took running backs that were only over the last however many years that were only within his age range. So he's, what, 29 or
31?
Huh?
He's older than that.
I think he's turning 30.
Yeah.
So they went from 28 to 32 or something, and they took those guys and they broke it down and what kind of salaries they got offered at that point in their career and all. And they came up somewhere around $4 to $4.5 million a year, I believe, if I remember right, is what they is similar to what his last contract was,
right.
I guess. That's about where he was. Anyway, I wish I could give credit to whoever, but it made a pretty convincing argument to me that all of a sudden I turned around from saying there was no way they were going to re-sign Mark Ingram to thinking this might actually be doable. And, you know, he's a valuable part of the team. Just not from the rushing aspect, he's the best blocker as a running back in those situations, pass protection blocker. He's significantly improved his receiving game, which... But, you know, why we didn't see more of the screen with Mark Ingram this past season, I have no idea.
I really wish we could ask that question.
He had become the new Pierre Thomas with the screen game. He was really executing it well, and it disappeared
from the whole offense this past season.
Yeah.
And I wish – now, I've heard things about that being just the way the Saints are playing offense. It creates a situation where the defense is playing in defenses that would not be conducive to running the screen. So, in that situation, just because of the nature of how the Saints run their offense, it wouldn't have been productive is the way it was presented. And I'm like, okay, I'd have to go back and look at
my only other thought with that is the Saints weren't really excited about running those banged up offensive linemen out
in front to try to block on screen.
There's
a part of it, you got to agree with that. You got these guys that are super athletic, but anytime you get a 300-pound man running out in space like that, there's all kind of bad stuff
when
that
they're Armstead and Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete excels at actually going up the field and blocking like that, but he's not been ultra
when a big
reliable
man like that
help-wise.
Changing direction or a lot.
And we know about Armstead. You know, I mean, we don't want him running too much as far as you asking for an issue. But anyway, go ahead, Tomas.
Well, I agree with the money part. Remember that the running back position has really been downgraded for all of the NFL. It's not like back in the day when all the offenses were geared around the running backs. It's a passing league now. It's geared around the quarterback. So even the high-value running backs are not really going to get that kind of money. So when you look at it, if Mark Ingram were to come in and say, you know, I'm going to fill up my contract with a lot of incentives, and I'm going to sign, you know, a three-year deal for, let's say, $11 million with some incentives, you're not going to get a better running back for that price. And so for me, it's like I find it hard to believe that he won't be back. You know, I think that there's some other positions that I see that we won't be re-signing certain people. But at running back, and I think that the coaching staff is a little upset at losing Boston Scott, but because they don't have any replacement for him. So, but I'm thinking they'll find another running back and they'll bring him in. It won't be Gillisley, who's already signed with somebody, and it won't be what's Mr. Fumbleitis? I can't think of his name now. Vereen of you know, he got hurt early on, and we put him on IR.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was with the
Giants. It was Vereen.
Vereen,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. So I'm thinking – but I think that Mark Ingram is one of those guys that we're going to sign.
Well, I sure hope so, because I think not only do the Saints need him, need a second running back, because when he was out being invisible, when he was out, I mean, we struggled to find someone
that we could give him two
or three or four carries. Yeah. And the point is you get rid of him. Now, again, I'm saying that. But to me, there is a limit. And you talked about his last contract averaged about $4 million a year. And this next contract, if it's something similar,
they're going to sign.
But what I worry about is there are a lot of teams out there. I remember last offseason, and you think, oh, well, we got some more money this year. We kind of cleared the books. And then you realize there are teams out there with $40 million, $60 million of cap space.
Yeah, $100
million. But there are other running backs out there that are more attractive to those teams. The talk is that Jacksonville is going to dump Fournette. So that's a guy that's going to be out there.
Le'Veon Bell is out there.
Okay. I mean, there are a number of running backs. Cleveland just signed this loser who was at Kansas City.
Hunt.
You know, I mean, there are running backs out there that are more appealing than Mark Ingram to a lot of teams with money. And that's what I'm saying. To the teams that I think Mark Ingram would be – the teams that would look at Mark Ingram and say, yeah, we'd be interested in him, they're not going to offer him any more than what the Saints are going to offer. And so that's why I'm thinking this is not a worry for us.
Yeah, I think based on the historical data of what a guy like him is going to command at his age, his connection to the Saints, particularly with Kamara, I mean, they got a two-man act going.
Yeah,
I think he wants to be here, and I think they'll be able to get to a number and incentive package and all that'll keep him here.
I agree.
All right, so Tomas, you did a little homework there. You want to get into a little bit of your, Tomas.
Okay, well, never too early to get started on a draft, and so watch the Senior Bowl. Got some good insight from some of those players there. Been reading everybody under the sun, putting stuff out there, including the idiot that I think is the biggest idiot out there, and that's what is his name? The bowling ball who used to be at MJD.
Maurice Jones-Drew. Yeah.
What an idiot. Okay, but in any case, I've read everybody there is to read, so I've come up with my list. Okay, and I went. The Saints have the following picks: number 62, 157. 163, 189, and 221.
What are we going to do?
So you understand that four of our picks are in the last half of the hundreds into the 200s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what you're saying is that Mr. Irrelevant will be somewhere in there for us. Okay.
Right.
All right. So 62 is the one to look at the end of the second round. Okay. So now a lot of people have been putting out their ideas. Who would the Saints pick? Now, for example, I know that there's a member of the trio here who is salivating for a wide receiver. A guy who just left the Pittsburgh scrap pile. And so, you know, he goes by the two letters A and B. Okay? And so, personally, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But I don't want him. Because as I mentioned before, we still have Meredith in the contract. I think he will come back, and I think he will be healthy. I still truly believe that Dez Bryant is going to be re-signed by the Saints. So if that's the case, we got no room for AB. Sorry.
Who? No, wait. Who
Antonio
wants
Antonio Brown.
No, I know
he's
that.
He's talking about you.
You.
I don't want Antonio Brown.
You are, hey, he's experienced. Former pro bowler. Oh, you know what I mean? Come on. He's got speed. He can take the top off. You know what?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not denying that he's a very good receiver.
Well,
but
I didn't deny that either.
I don't want nothing
But he's not a fit
him.
With us. Yeah. But in any case, but there are a lot of people who've been talking about, you know, looking for a player that is one of the wide receiver positions because they think that this is, a you know, what we need. I disagree. Now, much to Dave's chagrin, I'm sure.
No, okay.
I believe offensive line is going to be an issue. All right, Dave. So now take it easy. Don't get too upset.
Okay.
At the number 62, for me, I think it's going to be one of two choices. I think it's going to be either a tight end, or an offensive tackle that can also go in and play guard. I know you're not a happy camper. Now here's the problem with tight end. We are not the only team looking for a tight end. So I have on my little list that actually the last pick in the first round, let me turn to it, the last pick in the first round held by the Patriots is going to be a tight end. I believe they're looking for somebody. Gronkowski, you know, banged up, hasn't been, you know, hasn't really been Gronk all that much, and he's been talking about retiring. So they're going to be looking for another weapon for Brady. So to me, they're going to take Hodgkinson, the guy from Iowa that everybody's so hot about. Okay, so there goes one. One is gone there. I think then that's the only guy I see tight end in the first round. But in the second round, I have the Raiders taking Irv Smith. I've got the Bengals taking Noah Font. I've got the Packers taking Caden Smith. And then one guy that I was hoping would be around, but I don't see it, Dallas is probably going to take Sternberger. So now we get to us. Well, guess what? That's like the top five tight ends gone already.
Yeah.
Now, there are two that I like. I do like the kid from Georgia, Nauta. And that would probably be the one I take if I'm going to pick a tight end. But now I have a problem because the top five are gone. Do I really want to spend my only high draft pick on a tight end who might be another Josh?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope they would do their homework and it wouldn't be.
Well, you know? But the problem is that they have some other kids in lower rounds who might be better picks for value. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Right.
So, therefore, I have two particular possibilities. It could be Isaac Nauta, the Georgia tight end. But I really like this offensive lineman, Yadni Kajusta from West Virginia. He's a big tackle and fast, athletic, and versatile. And I think he might be a better player at that position than a tight end. So for the first round, I didn't get exactly what I, because it depends, but those are the two picks I see the Saints vacillating back and forth between. There you go. Do you want some more of the people that get picked in that round? Oh, I will say
well,
this.
So, to stay on that
the pick. The opinions expressed by Tomas do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of David Romero or the BS and Beer podcast.
But should. Okay. What was your question, Heath?
What about, you know, since you started this out talking of, you know, teasing him about wide receiver and our pick, what about this kid from South Carolina?
The receiver from South Carolina?
Yeah, the slot, really quick. I can't think of his name right now.
Give me a second to scan down here, and I'll tell you who picked them already on my list here. But I know who you're talking about. Debo Samuel.
Debo, yeah.
Debo.
In the Senior Bowl, he really picked up his his grade in there.
Because I think, you know, now like I said, he may well not be around by the time the Saints pick. But if the Saints were going to try to get a receiver, he's the kind of guy the Saints actually need.
Slot guy.
He's a quick, early separation kind of guy that can come out of that slot and get hit with a quick pass from Drew Brees going across, you know, more so than, say, somebody who's going long down the field or whatever.
I hear you. And certainly Drew is turning into that kind of a quarterback now. He's more of a management quarterback. He's not going to be hitting, you know, 70-yard bombs anymore or 50-yard bombs. So I can understand it, but I don't think he'll be there. I think he'll be gone.
Well, he may be, yeah. He'd be the closest thing, though, as far as a hard to cover in a small space. As I'm not going to call him an Edelman, but he gives you a little bit of that element of, you know, he's just so quick to get open on a short.
Right. And I do agree that's what we need. Like, we with Drew Brees' skill set now, and maybe it's always been the tight end, the big body guy, but the element that we miss, you can only have so many big, tall receivers out there. You need some guys that can get open quick and maybe make a play after they catch the ball, and we've lacked that.
But the other problem is that every team really could use a guy like that.
So you mean every team wants a guy that gets open quick, catches the ball, and makes a big play?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
imagine that.
Right? Imagine that.
Although I'm not sure that Meredith is going to be around here next year.
I'm hearing him talk.
The Saints can save some money by cutting him.
I get it, but I'm you know, you go out, you spend the money, you get him, you think he's worth something, and okay, you rolled the dice, you gambled, and he was a little bit too injured to he couldn't recover quick enough to play this year. I don't think that all of a sudden they just.
Well, he was playing in one of the games that was a replay game.
Early in the season, he played, and I sometimes forget about that. He actually caught a touchdown against Atlanta, I believe.
Yeah, I was watching the game. Yeah.
But
the
point is that the Saints obviously like him. You know, they didn't just randomly, you know.
And that's
like
why I don't think – I think that they won't give up on him this year. But now, if he doesn't come back this year –
it's only a two-year contract.
We're not going to re-sign him. They're not going to give him anything. You know, he'll be done.
And I think what they save about $3 million by cutting him. And again –
decent amount of cap.
Yeah. I still think the Saints need – I think what they do is they bring him. You got Dez Bryant. Only one of those two guys.
I agree with that. That's what I'm thinking too.
They kind of similar players. I shouldn't say it like that because they're not similar players, but they would fill a similar role.
Yeah.
And you know, big guys, kind of after the, you know, big targets for Drew Brees. I don't think you could have, you know, Michael Thomas. All three of those guys are very similar in what they bring to the table. So,
you know, I still got my guy out there, Kirkwood. He's going to make the team.
And Kirkwood's like a similar body type
to
those guys too. You know,
similar
skill set. So. I can see it. Let's move on.
Let me tell you one more thing about the draft before we go. Because I wanted to mention this. A lot of people, I disagree with a lot of people at the very beginning of round one. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of people are going with Nick Bosa as, like, the best guy out there, so forth. They really think, you know, Arizona's got no choice. They're going to have to sign him. I disagree. I actually think that the kid from UK, Josh Allen.
The tight end?
He's a linebacker.
The linebacker. Sorry. I was like, wait a minute.
He's actually edge. And that's why I would say to you, if you're looking for a guy that can play multiple positions and really bring something covering tight ends, I think Josh Allen's a much better pick for the first pick for Arizona. Remember, Arizona got nothing.
It's a UK guy going in the first.
Mel Kiper's latest mock has Bosa first and Allen two.
Really? I have Allen first, and I actually have Gary second going to the 49ers, the defensive lineman, because, again, he's a versatile guy, can play in and out. So, and I'm thinking the 49ers are going to have their quarterback back. They're going to have the receivers back. I think the 49ers are going to be in a pretty good position if they get some defense. So I think Bosa's just – he's just a rusher, you know. Now, he can't be stopped. I understand. So I'm having Bosa not go until the third to the Jets. Now, this is all without trades. There could be some trades in here. But I've got Allen first, Josh Allen, edge, UK. Rashawn Gary, Michigan, defensive line second. Nick Bosa, OSU, third. Quinnen Williams, Alabama, fourth. And here's where it changes from all the defensive guys. I have the Buccaneers choosing Josh Jacobs, running back from Alabama.
Really?
And a new coach in Tampa Bay. Who is he? Bruce Arians. What does he like? Running backs.
Yeah.
So to me, number five looks like a running back, breaking up the thing. The first quarterback I have going out will be the Giants choosing Haskins from Ohio State. Because this will be Manning's last year, in my opinion. They won't go any further than this year. Right. So that just gives you the top of it. There's a lot of emphasis, according to my list here, first on defense, and then there's this huge run on offensive tackles. Huge run on offensive tackles. So I am going to post this
Haskins.
Online.
Haskins, you mean that guy that Stephen Smith said is only a running quarterback?
That's right. That's
the
guy.
Did you see that?
Yeah, Stephen Smith. Yeah, what does he know about football? He should stick to basketball, okay? Yeah, Haskins, yeah. Now, actually, the kid Simmons who hurt himself, I actually have him falling way the hell down. He might be a surprise pick by somebody, even though he's hurt. And that's the guy who hurt himself in doing an off-season whatever, pickup game, whatever it was that he did, that he hurt himself. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
Sorry. Mississippi State, big defensive lineman.
Oh,
very
yeah,
quick.
Yeah. No.
Okay. No. Okay.
Well, got nothing.
But anyway, I'm going to post this. The first LSU player I have going on my list is Devin White to the Broncos.
What position?
Linebacker.
No. Which draft is it? What number?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He makes the top 10. And I say that only because there's so much emphasis on that edge rush and, you know, and the defensive tackles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of the first 10 are edge or defensive tackle on my list.
All right.
So there you go. I'm going to post it, but it's only 1.0. It might change. We have combine coming up.
He says might change.
Well, we have the combine coming up, so I'm going to be watching the combine very carefully, and there might be some sleepers I like better, and some of these guys might be duds.
All right, let's get to our Saints report.
All right, go ahead.
Post of the week. With no first-round pick, do the Saints have to be aggressive in free agency? Tomas, your thoughts.
Well, my thought is that we don't have a lot of cap space, first of all. Secondly, I do believe we're going to re-sign Mark Ingram, which still doesn't give us a lot of cap space.
Right.
Now, we might be able to restructure a few people here and there, but if you're going to go after somebody free agent-wise, what position would you go after free agent-wise? The tight ends that are out there aren't worth the time of day. Because a lot of the teams that have free agent tight ends, they're actually drafting tight ends in the draft.
I think there's some quality tight ends out there. I mean, they're not maybe blockbuster, you know, like immediate impact guys, but, I mean, the Saints are woefully thin.
Well, name one. Well, Eifert and his backup at the Cincinnati are the two big guys.
Yeah, it's the kid from the Raiders.
The Cook is the next guy from
the
Raiders.
The one I'm hearing getting the most talk from these various Saints writers and all is Jesse James from
Pittsburgh.
He's more of a blocking guy.
That's right.
Yeah. And again, what I'm trying to say is not that they're guys who are Jimmy Graham types or Gronkowski types. These are guys that are like, you know, going to be a good, solid, all-around tight end. What I'm really looking at, the Saints are, like, woefully thin. I mean, it's not like, man, it'd be great to have a superstar tight end, but at this point, it'd be nice to have just a guy who's a starting-level tight end.
But you just spent a lot of money re-signing Josh.
I think the idea there is that Jesse James is more like a Witten-esque player, you know. And Witten was very effective.
Yeah,
he wasn't going to go way down the field. But you need
down.
That 5, 6, 7 yards, yeah. And he was a guy that could see, and he was going to get that. I mean, look, he had a Hall of Fame career. I mean, he did
doing
just
that.
Well,
like I say to you, if we pretty much stay to what my first two rounds are, by the time we come up, the top five tight ends are gone, it might well be worth saying, you know, if we're going to look at it that way, maybe we don't bother with the tight end and just go ahead and sign a free agent tight end, and probably that's the best guy that's out there. Because, like I'm telling you, somebody – Cook has always been, and I know Heath said this before, that guy that everybody says, oh, he's going to break out this year. Oh, he's
right.
going to make
it
this
year. No, it's been like that. Now he's like 32.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah. We're too little, too late now. And the two guys from Cincinnati, they can't stay on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's really especially not much out there. Yeah, there's really not much out there. So if James is available and the Saints feel that that's a good signing, okay, because then it frees us up to pick an offensive tackle.
If we did sign Eifert, the most positive thing, it would take a lot of pressure off of Armstead. people wouldn't be focused on him and how much time
that's
he's
about
missing.
It. That's yeah. about it.
So. I know.
Yeah, I don't think so, but okay.
All right.
So, but
all the talent in the world, but he just cannot stay on the field.
Yeah. I mean, what's funny, I listen to so much stuff, I don't know where it came from, but somebody was trying to make an argument for him, and I don't want to pick on him too much because he sounded like a guy like me who didn't do a ton of research. Like, well, you know, he had the elbow problem, and then he had the ankle, you know. Yeah. And then the guy he was talking to, like, wait, you talking about this guy? And he's like, okay, in 15 he had a torn this, and 16 had a, and he went down a list. This guy has been, it's not just a, well, you know, there are some guys who, you break an ankle, I don't necessarily consider that injury prone. That's a serious injury. But if it's always, well, tore this and he tore, like some people's bodies aren't designed.
We had this discussion about the linebacker, didn't we?
Yeah, well, Anzalone and Armstead, you know, like right off the bat, if a guy is super fast, he's quick twitch, and he's a big line. Those guys, the quick twitch guys, aren't really that durable. You know, there's a benefit to being a guy who, well, I'm not that quick twitch, but you play every week, you know. Anyway, Eifert, his body just was not designed to take this kind of pounding because, I mean, that list that was given, I wouldn't touch that guy.
No,
I mean,
that's what I'm telling
you. Everything.
His backup is just as bad.
Yeah, so I guess the thing with that is that if – you know, if everybody else looks at him the same way and he comes from the Blue Light Special bargain bin or something, right, you sign him and hope you get a
1 year out of him.
A turnaround in a different way. But what was the guy that Gary was always complaining with in Detroit, the tight end that went
Ebron.
To Ebron, you know.
Yeah. And then he goes off.
He goes over there and he all of a sudden he doesn't have stone hands and all, you know. Yeah, yeah. You're just hoping that maybe you sign him really cheap and in some kind of way miraculously he stays healthy or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, well, you know.
Well, and you could say, too.
You better have a backup plan.
You have a different quarterback and a different way, you know. Looking. But I just don't, you know, again, looking at the free agents that are out there, I ask the question. What position are we going to sign for free agents?
I mean, okay, look, to me the two glaring needs right now, tight end and defensive tackle. The two glaring.
Did I say there's four?
Well, I'm not saying there's not more, but to me right now, okay, assuming Onyemata gets suspended, which, you know, now I'm hearing that, like, if he hasn't been in trouble yet, it's not a suspension the first time. We wouldn't even hear about it. But if he's had any other issues, it's a suspension. But let's just assume – you know, you talking about your top three guys, right? All gone. And so, or at least coming back from injury. And that puts Tyler Davidson as your best defensive tackle. I think
he's a solid guy as far as taking up space. But he's not
going to
be the
kind of
guy.
He plays at a different position.
Again, he's just taking up space. He's not going to be the kind of guy.
I figured I made enough a point before I had my coughing fit. It's just, no, I mean, we need some. He's, to me, no kind of guy you say, well, we can lean on him.
He played,
you know,
well, but like I say to you,
he's good at what he does. He's a run stopper. Yeah, he's a hard worker.
He's also a free agent.
Yes, he is.
We might not
we
be
have
here.
To sign him.
Yeah. Matter of fact, that even further makes the point. So your number one guy.
All of a sudden now, you know,
second-year guy who played well. Stallworth?
Stallworth.
Yeah. Stallworth. Yeah, he's going to be the guy who's going to be the real backup there.
Some way or another, the Saints need to find a way to, because that's an important position.
I don't disagree with you. Again, though, I go back and say to you, this is a problem with the draft because there's so many edge DTs taken at the very beginning that the people that are left, by the time we pick at 62,
I'm struggling,
are nothing, you know? That's what I'm trying to cover for you.
Yeah.
So so that's a problem there. But again, I turn to free agency and I ask you, okay, and I know you haven't done
the
background.
So you listed two. You said there's four. What are the other two positions?
I think we have a problem on the offensive line, the defensive line, tight end, and defensive back. I think we have four problems.
Well, okay.
I'm not sold on Apple. I'm sorry.
Well,
nobody likes Crawley anymore. And really, at this point, I like the guy, but he needs a change. He needs to go someplace.
Well, then we would debate. But I think that the Saints have four quality starters where we have no quality starters at tight end or defensive tackle. That's why I'm making – that's my argument, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you couldn't upgrade some of those positions, but if it's between upgrading Apple or upgrading Stallworth, and, you know, well, we'd have to throw somebody else.
Who did they? See, my problem is this: Rankins will be back, okay. Onyemata will be back, okay.
True.
But you got Apple. What happened all during the end of the season last year?
I mean, I thought Apple was a solid starter. I mean, he's.
But who got picked on the entire time at the end of the season?
When you have one guy that's really, really good, the other guy's gonna get picked on.
And I didn't think Lattimore played all that well.
But you're still going to the other direction.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying to you, Apple has certain technique strengths and certain weaknesses. Crawley has certain strengths. It's too bad you can't combine the two of them, because if you combine the two of them, you'd have a pretty good defensive back.
Maybe.
Okay. But I'm just saying to you, I believe, who do you have? You know, we don't know if PJ is going to be re-signed or not. We don't know if P-Rob is going to come back or not.
Well, okay. Now, that's not fair. Your argument is Onyemata's definitely, not Onyemata, but Rankin's definitely coming back from injury, but we don't know if
B-Rob
is coming back from injury.
Different injury.
You gotta, yeah, but you gotta assume that. Matter of fact, I'd say Rankins is less likely to come back. You know,
P-Rob's been rehabbing for a long time.
I know. I understand that. I'm just saying. You asked me, and I'm just saying to you that I think I see more than on the defensive side. I see a real weakness at defensive back. I think our linebackers are solid.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think cornerbacks was the biggest issue back there. I'm still looking at safety as far as the defensive back.
Well, I did say defensive backfield.
Yeah.
We know
Coleman has to be gone. You know? I mean, there's no doubt that he's not
going to be picked up.
There's some talk of Honey Badger. I just don't know that we can match what Houston's going to offer him as far as money is concerned.
Yeah, there's.
Well, we'll find out whether his tweet about money's good, but I want to ring.
Well, that's my
tweet.
He did tweet that out.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that the safeties are going to be that, like the market is going to be that soft for all safeties again.
No,
but
no.
Hey, man, I mean, if we could pick up a guy like that, definitely improve our
safety. Well, that would improve the corners, too. You know, if you have somebody like that, that would improve the corners.
Yeah, he's just a playmaker.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that'll come out there and make plays.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the show that we have
this
week. I know.
What are you talking about? I did all this research, and that's what we did.
We did. Take a picture of it, put it on Twitter.
I'm going to.
For Heath Elsasson, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Or the week after.
Oh, hey, Ethan, did you hear that Dave, Tomas, and Heath have a new podcast out this week?
No way. That's really cool. We should write a song for it.
BS and Beer is the show. BS and Beer is the show. To find out what Dave, Tomas, and Heath really know. Gotta love that podcast show. Gotta love that podcast show.
Place for Saints football news. How convenient. Thanks, Dave.